You have to do it in a way that doesn't feel confrontational. So that's one of the reasons that we're acknowledging up front is that we're going to do something that could potentially feel confrontational. So we've got to really like soften it. Welcome to Data-Driven Selling by the Sales Insights Lab, the podcast that helps reps and business owners generate more meetings and close more sales at higher prices. Okay, I am here with Coach Tiffany, the head coach of the Sales Insights Lab, and we want to address a question that we get a lot, and it comes from one of our favorite members in the Sales Insights Lab Accelerator, Casey. So let's hear his question.
Hey, Mark. Casey Carlisle here. Really quick question that I have for you. I feel like, you know, I've been having solid conversations with prospects. Everything looks good, but we get to the end and they just tell me, you know, I need to think about it. And it's something that I'm just kind of really struggling with. What do you think I should do? What are your thoughts? And appreciate any insights that you have. Thanks.
All right, Tiffany. So what is your initial reaction to the question about the classic, I need to think it over?
So I think think it overs are can be such a frustrating part of what we do in sales, but we have to be willing to go to the mat at that moment with the prospect. We can't take the soft rejection so that we don't get that hard no. We can't be afraid of the no. So instead of like getting into the space where you're leaving your prospect in this decision purgatory and they're just not able to have, I don't know, the insight to make that decision, you have to walk them through what it means to go over all of the concepts and things right then and there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because obviously, what I think a lot of salespeople feel, particularly at the end of a selling situation, is like they feel like they're in the 25th and a half mile of a marathon, but like that's not necessarily true. Like we, you know, and it's like if they just kind of like can get through this, it's a closed sale. It's like we have to recognize we really have nothing to lose here. So taking them to the mat, but being willing to follow our process and really understanding, like, do we have a sale at all? Or do we just kind of like, is this like something that we're ultimately going to have to kind of essentially like burn the house down? Or are we going to have a sale in 4 minutes?
Exactly. And then I think a lot of people don't want to feel pushy, right? And the goal isn't at that moment to push the prospect across the finish line. The goal is to push them for the clarity to get them to want to voluntarily cross the finish line. And I think that's what makes the difference between a prospect that gets stuck in like, well, I'm feeling pressure now, and now I want to ghost, and now I want to like run away from this bad experience. And a prospect that genuinely sees the salesperson as somebody that's there as a trusted advisor, there to help them make the right decision, which is what our role should be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, really all we want is a decision. Whether it's a yes or a no is okay. We just want to get to a decision. So let's kind of dive into the weeds of a think it over, because it's in a way like it's an objection, but I think one of the interesting things about this particular objection is that we don't necessarily know what type of objection it is up front until we dig into it. So in our training, we always talk about there's basically four types of objections, right? There's a cover, which means that it's like there's actually something else, right? It's like an objection in disguise. It's a concern, like something that they're worried about. That's really not the case here. It's a condition. It's actually something that needs to be dealt with, which is very possible in the think it over. Or it's complacency, which is, again, I think in this case is kind of synonymous with cover, where it's like, in a way, it's like a cover for the fact that like they don't really want to move forward. So I think like the two likely outcomes of I want to think it over are one of the following. One is like, let's start with the basic one. Like they just are the type of person that really like it's a lot of information. They want to think it over. Maybe they have to talk to someone else. Like they're just actually in a position where it's a big decision and they really want to make sure they're making the right decision. And let's face it, like we've all been in situations where we want to think something over as well. So that's kind of the condition side. Then the other is that it's a cover for the fact that they just want to get the hell out of the conversation. And so that's really what we're trying to weed out, right? Is like, do they genuinely want to think about it, or are they just trying to end the conversation?
And that's that soft rejection, right? And the ability to distinguish between those different things really comes from a confidence where you have to be okay with how the conversation's gone so far. I mean, there's so many things that you can do earlier in the conversation to make sure that you're being thorough and that you understand that you have clarity into what they're going through. But then just in terms, you know, going back to the yes or no concept, yes, we have to be totally okay with whatever the outcome is because we've had that strong conversation earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should spend some time on that because most people think about objection handling about like, what are they doing in the moment that they get the objection? But let's face it, like there's so much that happens leading up to that objection. And so obviously whatever's led to that objection has already happened in the conversation. And so, you know, I always think of it as like dating, right? It's like we're getting some kind of feedback 45 minutes into the conversation, which is in the form of an objection, which is like, I need to think about it. And again, we need to parse out what kind of objection that is. Is it like actually they need to think about it, or is it that they just like really don't want to move forward? Either way, though, that's happening as a result, assuming it's particularly like a cover for like, I just want to get the hell out of this conversation. That's a cover for the fact that like something earlier on in the conversation happened that led them to realize like, this isn't a fit, just like on a date, right? You go on a date, you think it's a great date. But then at the end, you're like, hey, let's do this again. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm really busy, but, you know, shoot me a text and maybe we'll figure it out. Right. Like, it's like they may have known in the first 7 seconds of the date, as soon as they sat down or saw you or heard your opinions on something, and they knew they wanted to get out, but they're not going to say it until minute, you know, 51 into the conversation.
Exactly. So we just want to make sure that, you know, as we're going deeper into the cover condition, all of those concepts, that we're just helping them to achieve clarity. And sometimes that's going to mean going back through and holding them to task on something that they've said earlier. I mean, there's so many different ways that this can play. At the end of the day, it's just being okay in that space of like walking them through this process.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of, you know, this concept of like pausing, of slowing down, and of not literally taking a deep breath, but like figuratively taking a deep breath. Like just get comfortable here in this place of uncertainty, where I think most salespeople, when they get an objection, immediately like their brain starts to move fast and they're, and maybe that's worth talking about a little, is like, how do most salespeople deal with objections? And I think what we see, and we see this when we watch recordings of calls and stuff too, even if people in our program, but like particularly the average salesperson, is like they immediately go on like this like 7-minute diatribe of why they need to make a decision today. Or, yeah. Like, and it like immediately smells of desperation, right?
So it's like that doth protest too much, right? Like if I'm the prospect and the salesperson is like, I say something, they're like, no, it's fine. It's all going to be fine. Like you sound unintentionally very insecure. You sound like you're desperate. And it's just at that point as the prospect, I start to feel like this is adversarial. You want to win something from me as opposed to both of us winning at the end.
100%. So the first step, once you're actually in the objection, you know, let's just say that the conversation was in fact a good conversation. You asked great questions, you really dug in, and you get the, I need to think it over, right? So the first step is to just pause, is to slow it down and not rush through this. Again, I always think of like the reason that expertise makes a big difference in anything is just like comfort in the actual discipline. And this is one of those situations where just getting comfortable in objections is key. So slow it down. You know, we always say like pause for a couple of seconds and just kind of what we want to do is we want to slow the word per minute pace of the conversation. We want to kind of get it to slow down, right? So just, and really find that place of comfort in the fact that like, you know, they're saying something that on face value sounds quite reasonable. Of course, we've got to understand why they're saying it, which we're going to get to. So slowing it down. And then the next step is to really acknowledge, just like with any objection, is to kind of acknowledge it. And so why don't you unpack like what that kind of looks like and kind of why we do that.
Yeah. So we definitely want to have that moment where they feel heard, right? So we want to honor what they've said somehow, either, you know, repeating it back to them or something that says like, I'm listening to you. I'm not just going to try and steamroll you back onto this sales track. And that's really helpful because everybody wants to feel heard. Everybody wants to feel listened to. And that prepares them for, you know, mentally prepares them for this concept of like, just because I said, you know, a few words doesn't necessarily mean that like this conversation's over. This person's going to like stay with me and like walk me through these concepts and help me out.
And it's also just, we kind of want to disarm them. everyone's been in buying situations before, and they know that when they give objections, the salesperson is naturally going to, I think you mentioned it before, there's going to be this natural adversarial thing. And what we're trying to do is present like we're actually like, instead of like face to face, like lining up to get into a fist fight, we're actually just like, we're walking around and we're standing shoulder to shoulder and looking in the same direction and be like, all right, you know, I really appreciate you saying that. And what's really interesting too is that like old school salespeople like really object to this because like they think like we don't want to give credence to the objection, but it's like they said it. Like that's what they feel, that's what they're thinking. So it's like we can't, we're not going to convince them out of the objection. Like that's what they feel. So you might as well acknowledge it. And what it's going to, of course, do is it's going to set the stage for the next phase of handling the objection. So first we kind of pause, then we acknowledge. So in Casey's place, pause, then acknowledge. And so then what's the next step from there?
Okay, so then the next step's really interesting because you mentioned the objection is what is the thought or the question that they have. But the next step goes into figuring out what's the real thought or feeling that they're having, right? And we're going to go in and we're going to get more insight and we're going to clarify what is it that's actually going on here. I think oddly enough, as a prospect myself, it's the one place where I wish salespeople selling to me in my organization would go deeper because I'll have a thought and then I'll be like, I'll acknowledge it's an objection and I'll walk myself through the process. But goodness, it is so beneficial to your prospect to help them to understand like, okay, so unpacking it, helping them understand like what's, you know, leading them to think that thing or raise that question or make that statement. That's where you're really going to be able to get to the bottom of the issue at hand. It's one of those things where you want to be in that space again, same team, same side of the table, and then you're their partner in helping them to take this deeper.
So really, you know, just taking that further is like, we need them to clarify why they said it. So this is really like, this is what it's going to get to ideally, depending on the level of trust and the you know, how strong your conversation was, this is what's going to get to whether this is really like a cover or a condition. Because like, again, like there are some people who just like, for those of us who have ever like sold to like engineers or highly analytical people, some people just take time over decisions. And like, I think that that's rarer or more rare than we think, but like that is a scenario. So we've got to kind of dig into why they said, I need to think it over. So again, so to kind of go back, it's like, we want to acknowledge, like, I really appreciate you're saying that. And now it's like, well, help me understand what prompts you to say that. Right. So now it's like just kind of giving tactical questions like, so what prompts you to say that? Or, you know, tell me why that is. Right. And you have to do it in a way that doesn't feel confrontational. So that's one of the reasons that we're acknowledging up front is that we're going to do something that could potentially feel confrontational. So we've got to really like soften it. To me, this is the most important part of handling any objection, because like I think you always talk about is like, this may be the end of the objection if you kind of go deeper. So why don't we talk about a little bit about like how that looks like if you just keep on peeling there and it kind of sometimes naturally solves it itself.
While you're going deeper with them, they may have said a specific objection. And then as you take them on that road to kind of thinking through it, they're going to realize a lot about what they're actually thinking or what their fears are. And then it's really interesting because the objection seems to fizzle into the air. Like it's the coolest thing to see happen tactically. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention there is that like 9 times out of 10, the objection has something to do. It's an emotional objection. And even if it's a condition, there is still the sense of like, I may not be able to get what I want because there's this condition in place. Like I have to like, you know, do a number of things. So the process of going deeper, the process of clarifying that objection really means that you are helping them to unpack like whatever concern or whatever fear they have around those things. And a lot of times the thing that they first started out with isn't really what's going on. Sometimes they're going to say like they want a guarantee, when in fact, they don't necessarily want a guarantee. They've had a bad experience before that's making them feel nervous. And I think that before I got tactical with sales, I would be like, just try to answer it, right? Yes, of course, there's a guarantee. I'd jump right to trying to fix the problem because I would get scared. And I go, oh no, this is going to break. When you use a solid process for handling these kinds of objections, it frees you up to really have a conversation with the prospect as a person and walk them through it and be like, no, what's really going on? Definitely solidifies you as a trusted advisor.
Yeah. I mean, getting them to clarify, sometimes like when people just articulate what they're thinking, that kind of solves their thing. It's like when you're in an argument with your spouse and it's like when they just kind of say it, or even in like a customer service situation, an airline canceled your flight and you call into customer service and you're like yelling at the person. The person is like really good at their job and they're like, you know, I really appreciate that. So tell me what's happened, right? And as you start to just kind of like vent and say it, then suddenly you're like, oh, okay, like I feel better, right? It's like what my three-year-old always says, like, okay, I feel better, you know, because I just like said it. And so getting them to clarify, and that can be not just like one question, that can be multiple questions and going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think that's where in this particular objection, like if you're going to solve that objection, it's probably going to be more there than in the final step, which we'll talk about, which is address. Which is really great, but like I think most salespeople are going to want to jump to like trying to address this when really the solution I think is in getting them to clarify and basically determine like, is this a cover or is this like really a thing, and or is it like something that they're kind of, they are in fact willing to make a decision now.
Exactly. And I think that we're looking at that address portion. The only objection that really has to get addressed is like a condition. Like there's some series of things, like the house has to be built or the grass has to be there before I hire somebody to do landscaping for it, things like that. So that would be an example of a condition. But everything else really does revolve around the earlier steps where we're walking them through it. You know, we're acknowledging where they came from, slowing the whole thing down. And that's just going to create this structure where you're on the same team. And that is a much more impactful way to approach this conversation than anything that feels like a push or like you're trying to get what you need as a salesperson. You know, it's interesting. I had space where I had an objection for a salesperson and they got so insistent on making the sale that instead of walking me through it on all of those different spaces, they actually ended with, I really need to make quota this month. And I'm like, that's not my responsibility, right? What they could have done so simply, because I understand the objection that I had now, is to just walk me through a process like this. And that would have gotten them the sale so much faster than begging, which is what it became at the end.
I mean, there's just nothing worse than dealing with a salesperson who needs to close a sale in order to pay rent. I mean, that's just like, if you feel that, and by the way, I mean, there are situations where you literally have to close a sale in order to pay rent, and that's okay, but you still have to, you can't sell like that person where it's like, I need to make quota. Like you need to, even if it is to make quota, like that's not their problem, right? So it's like, you've got to be selling from a position of strength and just really dealing with digging into this process. Slow it down, acknowledge what they said, get some clarification, and then you can address the objection at the end with, if in fact it is a condition, let's say, and they just really, then it's like, okay, so let's talk about, you know, what we could talk about for next steps or whatever it is. But I think that to kind of put a bow on this for me, I totally agree with you that most of the time, what we did leading up to this objection is going to have the most influence, right? Is like really getting good at digging in and understanding the challenges and concerns and all that. And then from there, now it's like we deal with this. And again, like slow it down, get them talking and see where it goes.
Yeah. And I think that there's the tactical portion and there's the mindset portion. And the mind, you can't get to effective tactical implementation until the mindset's solid. And you may need a sale, but you don't need this sale. And that's what's going to really back you up a little bit. And this is where the rest of your sales strategy, you know, again, your ability to do outreach, all of those different components play into how you handle this objection. Because at the end of the day, you need to be willing to let somebody go. You can't try to hold on to them if that sale is not going to happen. And once you just say like, hey, I'm okay with losing this, there's others out there, then all of a sudden that frees you up to really help them and help yourself to figure out, is this a fit? Is this going to move forward?
Absolutely. Awesome. Tiffany, thank you so much. And let's see people really bringing a real process to objections as opposed to just kind of like coming back and getting into an arm wrestling match.
Totally.
Thanks for listening. Want more tactical advice on selling? Register for our free video training on the 5-step formula to closing more deals without price pushback, think it overs, or ghosting. Simply visit closing.training to get instant access. That's closing.training to get instant access. access.